Welcome back to Believe in UCLA. I am your host, Travis Reed, and today we want to talk about the 3-1 UCLA Bruins football team. Want to talk about the last game against Utah, and like I said, for the future good games coming up. You know, I think UCLA has been playing really good. They have a huge game coming this week, and actually they're off this week, but then the following week on the 7th, playing Washington State and then Oregon State. So they got, like I said, the Pac-12 football is by far the best conference this year. And I don't think it's even close. I think they had 7 teams ranked. Now it's down to like 5, I believe. Yeah, down to 5. Basically, three in the top 10. No, is it 3 in the top 10? It might be 4 in the top 10. 3 or 4 in the top 10 with SC, Oregon, Washington, and Utah. All teams, you know, that's around that 10-ish range. So, and obviously you got Oregon State still, who's ranked, Washington State, who's ranked, Colorado and UCLA obviously both fell out. But it just goes to show you how deep the conference is. I think it's just been, you know, a spectacular year for the Pac-12. And even though this is the last year of the quote-unquote Pac-12, why not save the best for last, you know? You know, I don't even know really. I think that Oregon is spectacular. I think, you know, SC has talent and they're capable, but their defense is a little suspect. So I think that, you know, things are going to be, until their defense kind of shores up, I think they have a chance to be beaten by anybody. I think Washington's offense is spectacular. People are not talking about Washington because they're not watching them. If you ever watch Washington, their offense is spectacular. They have an NFL first-round quarterback. They have NFL receivers. They can put up points with anybody. I can't think of the quarterback's name, but, you know, the Pac-12 this year is littered with quarterbacks that are NFL quarterbacks. You got, obviously, Caleb Williams, who will probably go number one. You have Bo Nix, who's probably going to be a first- or second-round pick. You got the quarterback from Washington, who will probably be a first-round pick. You know, you got even Oregon State, you got Washington State, you got, you know what I'm saying? So, like, the Pac-12 is ridiculous this year with quarterback play, and it's ridiculous with just teams that are great. You know, I think that, you know, any of these teams can be, you know, getting to the playoffs, you know, Oregon, SC, Utah, Washington, you know, those four. Obviously, are the four separators, but the spoilers, Oregon State, Washington State, you know, even UCLA, even Colorado. I think, you know, we'll get into that Oregon-Colorado game in a little bit, but I think that, like I said, you know, the Pac-12 is just showing that, you know, this year, of course, the last year of the Pac-12, that they are the best conference, I think, in college football. And I don't even think it's even close. Now, just to get a backstory of last week, it was kind of, I call it, you know, just starting of the Pac-12 conference. You know, Oregon State played Washington State, both ranked teams, both in the top 16-ish. So I think Washington State was like 17. Oregon State was like 14. And Washington State, who has another, they have a great quarterback too. They put up points on an Oregon State defense that was one of the top defenses in the country. Scored 38 points, beat them 38-35. You know, obviously the game with the biggest name was the Oregon versus Colorado. Colorado, you know, comes with the, obviously, you know, being undefeated and, you know, all the hype train. And I think Oregon was like, you know, you heard the coach. If you listen to the coach, they're looking for clicks. We're looking for wins. It's just different. We're different here. We're going to smack them. Basically, they came in to make a statement. and they did it. I think they were going for it on fourth down, maybe like two, three times. They did like two or three fake punts. They did a fake punt on like in their like top in their 20s. You know, it was like on the 25-yard line, their 25-yard line, Oregon. And they did fake punts. They were out to make a statement, and they did. They beat them 42-6. They could have scored 60. They just, you know, they took off. They let their brake hit. They call it hand off the brake, hand off the pedal, foot off the pedal, rather. Sorry. They made a statement. And like I said, Colorado, you know, Colorado's a good team. Shakur Sanders, Deion Sanders' son, is a great quarterback. They have great receivers, good running backs. I just think they're like, they're not good in the trenches right now. And that's where, you know, Oregon smashed them. I think that's where SC, if they're going to win, if SC beat them in Colorado, I think it's going to be a much closer game than the Oregon game was. But if they beat them, it's going to be in the trenches. It won't be like, you know, athlete for athlete to be in the trenches. I think, you know, SC was in the same boat last year with like, you know, 20 or 30 transfers, and just you have to build a culture so fast. So, yeah, I think with Colorado, I think this is the weakest they're going to be this year. I think they're going to just be great next year. They're going to the Big 12. They should be one of the best teams at the Big 12 because Oklahoma and Texas will be leaving the Big 12 after this year. So, yeah, they probably will be the best team in the Big 12, to be honest. You know, I don't see any other teams because, like I said, Oregon, UCLA, SC, and Washington are going to the Big Ten next year. So, you know, I think Colorado will be the best team in the Big 12 next year. That was a big win by Oregon. I think Colorado's going to do a much better showing against SC this week, but I still think SC wins by about two touchdowns, maybe like 42-28 or 35-21, something like that. It'll be closer, but not, it won't be a blowout like it was, but it'll be close. Maybe 34-24, something like that. Now we can get into, UCLA winning. I mean, SC winning, I'm sorry, beating Arizona State, but not really looking good doing it. Caleb had five touchdowns, but for his standards, he didn't play that good. I think with SC, they get too cute with their offense. They don't run the ball enough. The running back had 150 yards off like 12 carries. He should have had 17 or 20 carries and probably had 250 yards. So, or at least 200. And like I said, it was even though SC won, they dropped down three spots in the AP poll down to number eight because they didn't play poorly for their standards. I think that, you know, it's a situation where, like many situations, teams come out flat. They're looking for the big game. I think SC came out flat. They just came out. They looked uninspired, to be honest. They looked uninspired. And it didn't look like they wanted to really, they were just like, oh, okay, hold on. We know we're going to win because it was the third Arizona State third string quarterback. And, a lot of guys are hurt and things like that. So. But anyway, we're going to get into the UCLA-Utah game. And I came into the game thinking that I thought that UCLA had a chance, but I thought it was a slim chance, very slim. So, when you turn on the game and literally, Dante throws a pick six first play of the game, and I'm just thinking like, oh no, this is going to be a long day. I thought it was going to be a long day, but no, the defense was great. Held Utah to 7 points essentially because they won 14-7. And that's with Mr. Moore, Dante Moore, not even really playing that good. He didn't play that good. He played okay, but didn't play great. Played okay. I thought that, he was pressured. You know, obviously Utah is Utah. They pressured him a lot. They got to him a lot. They hit him a lot. You know, sacked him. Thought that, you know, he played hard. He, you know, he played through some things. But you know, I just thought that, you know, they were just so physical. Utah's so physical. They really are, you know. And, you know, like I said, Dontre didn't play bad. He was 15 for 35, 234 yards, a touchdown and a pick. But, you know, you said they couldn't run the ball. They didn't allow them to run the ball. You know, TJ Hart, you know, TJ had 31 yards off 11 carries. You know, their biggest run was 12 yards by steal. You know, like I said, they couldn't, it was like a slugfest, really. You know, offensively for both teams, it was a struggle. It was just a struggle. You know, even, you know, for Utah, you know, Nate Johnson was the quarterback. He was only 9 for 17 for 117 yards. Now, he threw a touchdown at the end of the game, but it was kind of shaky. They ran the ball okay. They, you know, Utah had 100 yards rushing. 86 of it came from Glover, their number one running back. So, and that was off of 25 carries. You know, the receivers didn't really do anything. Most of them was just two catches, you know. So, it really wasn't – it was just a defensive masterpiece, if you want to say, for UCLA. And just a slugfest for Utah and UCLA. Like I said, I thought that he was a freshman. You know, Dontre was just, he had a, you know, fumble, he had an interception. He wasn't used to that kind of pressure. And like I said, Utah is what Utah is. Utah's a physical team. They're going to run it down your throat. They're going to pressure your quarterback, and they're going to play press man coverage on you. So there's nothing, you know exactly what they're going to do. There is no disguising, and you got to beat it. And UCLA couldn't do that. You know, they couldn't really get on the speed, and like they, you know, like they beat them. They beat Utah last year with just speed and everything, but, you know, DTR did, and, you know, and a running back did. And so, like I said, like, you know, they couldn't stop all that speed at UCLA. But this year they didn't let UCLA get in space. And, you know, like I said, they just kind of punched them. They punished them. But I was really proud of the defense. Thought that they played really stout, you know. Didn't give up. Like I said, only gave up one touchdown all game. Played really hard. You know, I thought, you know, like I said, for UCLA had a great game. Had 10 total tackles. You know, like I said, had two sacks. Had just a monster game. You know, UCLA had four sacks. They like I said, their defense this year has people talk about it for the last couple of years, how bad it's been this year. It ain't been that bad. The defense is really good. I think, you know, like I said, you know, I think they can win 9-10 games, and I think they will win 9-10 games. Still, you know, because I think they can flip one of these, you know, go either way games with that defense. Now, I know everybody was expecting my co-host to come on, but he just wants to do basketball. I don't want to say his name because I want it still to be a surprise, but to people who listen to the show. But when basketball season comes around, which is going to start coming around pretty soon, about a month or so, he will be on and we will be doing a show together. I will have a co-host. So you get tired of just hearing my voice. I have a co-host with me. And he's a former UCLA player himself. And I'm just excited to have him on with me, you know. So, but right now, just for the football season, you know, it'll just be me. So, you know, when I do these shows, for now, unless I'm interviewing a player or a coach or something like that. So, you know, he was just like, I just want to do the hoop one. I don't want to do the basketball football one. I don't want to, you know, be like, you know, certain people that be talking different sports and they don't sound right. I'm like, bro, it's okay. You know, if you love UCLA, just tell from the heart. Anyway, like I said, just wanted to also, you know, think that, like I said, UCLA has a super hard schedule. I think they needed a break after that tough game against Utah. But in not this week coming up, but on the 7th, they go, like I said, they have a home game against Washington State, which who just is undefeated too, just beat Oregon State, and then they play Oregon State. So these next two games will determine if UCLA is going to win 9-10 games or they're going to win 8 games. Because being, like I said, 3-1 right now, and with these next two, they can easily be 3-3. But let's just say they get one of these next two, I think they'll be in good shape to win 10 games. Because you figure the next game after that is Stanford, which should be a win. And then Colorado at home, which should be a win. You know, then Arizona at home, which should be a win. At Arizona, which should be a win, even though last year was the shocker when they beat them. And then Arizona State at home. So, like, they have, after these next couple games, you know, next couple games at Washington State and Oregon State, they have very winnable games, you know, the next, you know, 3-4 games. So this winning one of these can go really a long way for the season that UCLA, that everybody's hoping UCLA has. And so that's what I'm looking for. That's what I'm looking to see. Like I said, next week, obviously, we'll be off because UCLA will be off. There won't be any games, you know. So, yeah, just like I said, want to keep going. You know, we're going to, you know, keep the show moving. And like I said, I will be having a co-host for basketball season. I know there's another show, Believe in UCLA Football. They started that. So I didn't want to, not just do any football at all and just do basketball. But that would be, obviously, my main thing would be the basketball season because I would be really focusing on that. But just wanted to kind of go over what the 3-1 UCLA Bruins is doing. I think that I don't want to talk about the last game. They won 59-7. We don't need to talk about that one. That's, you know, stat game. We're in the Pac-12 season, so now we can get into the games, you know, week by week. But I want to say thank you for listening. You can find me at Travis W. Reed. That's R-E-E-D, Travis W. Instagram and Travis W. Reed on Facebook. I post all my social media on both sites. And you can like, share, subscribe to my channel, An Athlete's Journey. It is on my page. I have a Facebook page of it, and I have also my Instagram. So click the link on my Instagram page, and it will take you to the actual YouTube page, and you can subscribe to the channel. That, like I said, and that'd be for my other show, An Athlete's Journey. But I will be having clips of this show as well. So it'll be a mix of both. Like I said, so thank y'all for listening, and we will talk to you guys in a couple weeks.